Welcome to the MedEvidence Podcast, hosted by Dr. Michael Corrin and Michelle McCormick. MedEvidence, where we help you navigate the real truth behind medical research with both a clinical and research perspective. In this podcast, we'll have discussions with physicians that have extensive experience in patient care and research. How do you know that something works? In medicine, we conduct clinical trials to see if things work. Now, let's get the truth behind the data.
Welcome to MedEvidence, powered by Encore Research Group. Go to EncoreDocs.com. Well, welcome back. We have been having a great discussion about diabetes and diabetes drugs, especially around type 2 diabetes, and the good effects that you have drugs now on market that are really making differences for people. Okay, speaking of drugs and all the goings on with that, so many drug commercials, even focused at type 1, type 2 diabetes. And they talk about A1C and they have funky names and they sing jingles that get stuck in your head. Let's talk about
You can blame us for that.
Well, thank you, the trial people.
Right, because we've shown that these new classes of drugs have remarkable effects. Mm-hmm. The SGLT2 inhibitors, as I said, actually prevent cardiovascular disease complications. And now we're actually using them for heart patients that don't have diabetes.
Well, which you want initially. You want people to be healthier.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
but it just, the data have blown everybody away. Is that you imagine that here's this drug that the company was forced to use in a cardiovascular safety trial that's now considered a cornerstone of treating congestive heart failure. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
In non-diabetics.
Yeah.
So it's the whole thing has really just flipped. Mm-hmm. And the GLP-1s have been shown to actually help people lose weight. In fact, the discussion amongst, not to be derogatory, but against, you know, some women who may think that they're a few pounds overweight is how can I get semaglutide, Ozempic? Mm-hmm. So literally, you know, I have people that come into my office, they're 5 pounds overweight maybe and just need to exercise a little bit more. Yeah. And they say, oh, can you write me for semaglutide? So where did this come from?
Yeah.
And so Sharon can tell us a little bit more about some of the data and explain what a GLP, some of the names of the GLP-1, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. you can recognize them and some of the names of the SGLT2s.
In the commercials. So.
Yeah. And where that all comes from.
Yeah.
And then we'll try to bring it back to, you know, when people come into our offices, what we need to do. And I'll share some personal experiences.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So it's a great, fascinating class of drugs. What we found in the trials with these GLP-1s was they're glucose dependent. So in a non-diabetic, they do not lower your blood sugar. That means only if your blood sugar is high will it lower it. So it doesn't cause low blood sugar.
Right. That's very, very important. So remember, these are drugs that are enhancing that signal that comes from the liver after you eat. So it's really not working in a fasting state. Mm-hmm. So it's a really, really cool mechanism. Mm.
Which means that's where we replace a lot of the mealtime insulin that was causing so many lows with these GLP-1s.
Exactly.
A great combination with the basal insulin. But what we noticed in the trials was we could go up to a certain dose and it managed the blood sugar and the weight loss. But we could go higher in the doses for just weight loss, but did not get any better control in the blood sugars. So that's why you have this single drug semaglutide. So it's liraglutide on a daily basis, it's Ozempic on a once a week basis, and it's Wegovy at a higher dose just for weight loss.
Wow.
Yeah, semaglutide or semaglutide is Ozempic, just so people know.
Okay.
So we're using both the generic names and the trade names. The trade names are what you hear in the commercials. The generic names is what we talk about in research.
Okay. Yeah.
And all in different dosages and different regimes.
Yeah, so different names for different dosages, but
exactly.
Same drug.
But it was interesting. Higher doses for weight loss worked, but the lower dose, it didn't have any effect on blood sugar. So we kept it lower for just the diabetes.
Yeah.
Does it just make you feel full?
Feeling full is a big part of it.
Okay.
I mean, I tell patients if you normally sit down and have a sandwich for lunch, cut it in half, wait 30 minutes and see if you're still hungry.
Yeah, and in fairness, there's a lot of drugs in this GLP-1 class. So Trulicity is an example of that. Victoza is an example of that.
Bidurion.
There's a bunch of them out there.
Okay.
So we're not favoring one company, just
right.
to be clear.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a great class.
Yeah, so they
and there's new ones on the way that we have in trials.
Yeah. So personally, I got exposed to semaglutide in the very early stages. So I've done a lot of personal investigation of that. But we've also worked with all these other other manufacturers' products, to be clear.
Okay.
Now, Dr. Corrin, are you familiar with any of them only two drugs, is what I understand, was the tirzepatide and the semaglutide that actually cross the blood-brain barrier and work on the hypothalamus and the hunger center.
Yeah. So there's some theoretical examples of that. And by the way, these are really very prominent research studies and publications in the New England Journal of Medicine, for example. So tirzepatide or Mounjaro is the latest king of the block, if you will, that has been shown to have remarkable weight loss characteristics. And one of the theories is that there may be differential effects in this class depending upon what they do to the brain. That's theoretical. I'm a clinical trial person, and I look at empirical evidence, which means that show me the studies. Mm-hmm. And so again, prospectively saying this is what we think the drug will do. And then if it does it, after you say that it did it prospectively, then you can trust that information. So tirzepatide, which we've worked with extensively at our research center, is now on the market under the name Mounjaro. And I think it's going to be very competitive with Ozempic, which I think was probably the leading drug in this concept of weight loss with diabetes care.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And again, these drugs are now approved for weight loss without diabetes. Mm-hmm. So
interesting.
Yeah. So you don't even, again, as I was joking about before, is that the endocrinologists are trying to take our drugs away from us.
Well, and for people who don't like injections, we do have one oral drug in that class, Rybelsus, which is semaglutide in an oral form. And
which isn't as effective in fairness as the injectables.
Okay.
But for some people are afraid of injectables. And then now where we're going with a new trial is exenatide, which is a GLP-1, is going to be in a small implant under your skin. And we've tried something like that similar in the past. So it'll be an implant and it'll slowly release the medication over time.
Yeah. Huh. So just to help everybody understand, the reason they're injectables is because these drugs are relatively complex molecules that would be digested if they just go through your GI tract in the standard way. Mm-hmm. And so they have to either be injected to get directly into the bloodstream, or you need to come up with some mechanism to protect the molecule from being digested. So Rybelsus has that system that protects the molecule from being digested.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And in the trial, how long does that last before, you know, how long is a person in a trial to know that it's going to be at one of those levels?
So all the trials have different cohorts and different branches that you're randomized into, and they're all different lengths. So I guess without knowing the exact trial.
Yeah.
The interesting part about that is we did finish one of the studies with a GLP-1 semaglutide early on, and one of Dr. Corin's patients actually came up and spoke with me at our lunch and learn, and she did very well during the trial and lost quite a bit of weight. But when the trial ended and she didn't get the drug, I'm not sure the reason, she gained all the weight back. And so what our investigator at the time, who was doing an educational session, Dr. Barlucci, said, you have to combine the lifestyle changes with these medications. Mm-hmm. You have to be intentional on what you're eating or if you're exercising, because, you know, we want these people to last and go on and do better with life. So it's you know, I don't know. It's
you need a holistic approach. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Well, and type 2 diabetes doesn't go away, does it? It can just be managed.
There are new talks about remission of type 2 diabetes. Virta Health and Indiana University has some data out where they have put them in remission, but they've been on, and I'm not touting this at all, they've been on a very strict ketogenic diet, and they've been monitoring them with physicians and health coaches and nurses and holding their hand. I almost think you could take any diet, hold their hand like that and work with them and get them. They're getting off their insulin. They're de-prescribing, basically. So we don't have long-term. We've got maybe 1 and 2 year studies on that.
Yeah. If you have a very, very low calorie diet over an extended period of time, you won't be diabetic for type 2. But who wants to live on 800 calories a day?
No.
That would be you would not be diabetic.
Chicken breast and broccoli, you'll get rid of your diabetes.
Yeah. Right,
exactly. Nothing else.
Right, exactly. And you'd be miserable, but
right.
So there's always a trade-off and a balance here. But to the point, Sharon made, which is an important point, is that the drugs can help people, but they could also be a crutch. So you have to be careful about that, is that you continue to be holistic, continue to do what you need to do in terms of diet and exercise while you're using the benefits of these medications.
Okay. All right. Well, good.
So that's the GLP-1 class. And the other class that has gotten a lot of attention, as we mentioned, is the SGLT-2 class, which has a different mechanism. And Sharon mentioned that a little bit. It basically prevents the kidneys from reabsorbing glucose, so that you actually spill the glucose in the urine. Mm-hmm. So you're getting this glucose out of the system. And, you know, there was some debates about whether or not that was a better mechanism or worse mechanism. And as mentioned, these drugs have remarkable effects in cardiac patients and are actually reducing heart failure readmissions in diabetics and non-diabetics and actually prolong survival mm-hmm. in some studies. So it's really a remarkable drug class. But like anything else, it's not without its side effects. So Sharon probably has a lot of experience with some of these patients that have to deal with those side effects. But just think about it. If you're putting all this glucose in the urine, what can happen? Well,
it's a warm, dark environment down there, and infections do happen. I did have, when the drugs first came out, I had a sweet little lady came in, and she said, I hate my doctor for this medication. I don't care what my blood sugar is. She goes, I sit in church all day just itching, and I just can't stand it. So they do have to be careful with that. Uncircumcised men, I do have to tell them, you've got to clean your junk because the infections can, you know, that's sugar down there in a very small area. So using the blow dryer after the shower, things like that really help keeping it, don't get sweaty, you know, change your clothes, things like that. So it comes with some maintenance, but it is the sugar going out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you wouldn't know that without the trial.
Right. That's how we
you know, you got to learn about those type of side effects as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. And in some people that's not insignificant. So in our next segment, we'll get into a little bit more of discussion about how you manage individual patients. But the other thing before we get there is this sort of theoretical concept, is getting glucose out of your system actually helping people from a heart standpoint? And there's a big debate about it. Remember, the other thing that's part of this was it's the sodium glucose co-transporter. So some people think that this is also a way of getting sodium out of the system, which is also another thing that has been debated back and forth about treating congestive heart failure patients and cardiac patients in general. And certainly we've learned over the years is that sodium restriction can result in lower blood pressure and less cardiovascular complications. So that may also be the mechanism of the way these drugs work. And also it's the seeds for the next stage of clinical research, is that when we learn something that works, the logical next step is, okay, why does it work? And we can make it work even better once we really understand how it works. Because again, in this particular case, we had no idea when we started that this would be a positive class for heart patients. We just want to make sure they were safe for diabetics. Yeah. And so this is the interesting way that clinical research evolves over time. So, and we'll get into some of the currently enrolling clinical trials and what we anticipate coming out over the course of the next year or two. And that gets into this concept of how we can make it better for the next generation of people and how to avoid some of the side effects of this class.
I'm your host, Michelle McCormick, and we want to thank Dr. Michael Corrin for his clinical and research perspective behind the science in this episode of MedEvidence, the truth behind the data.